Okay. Are you ready for a shot? Welcome to Lion and Felix's Fitness Channel. Kettle barbecue chips and Red Bull. Share with the people what you have there. Gummy bears, 7-Eleven flavor. Hey, flaming hot Cheetos for the boy. And would you like a Red Bull?
Where's the production team?
Are you the production team?
Yeah, I'm all the teams.
Are you makeup too? I heard about you. Oh, hi. I didn't see you guys there. Welcome to Free People, Free People.
Welcome back to Free People, Free People. We are on, it says week 6 here, but I'm pretty sure we're on week 7.
I just guessed.
Okay. We're on week 7 of this conversation.
Like, we have comprehensive notes today.
Okay, great. They look like graffiti. This week, our conversation is about faith, all things faith. And I would say it is quite hilarious that we would be speaking about faith on a week that I feel like I need the most faith. You gonna comment? No. Okay.
Okay. Oh, we have this little monster. I mean, a little child. His name is Lion. And man, I'm afraid I just said his name a little bit too loud. If I say it once or two more times, he may appear like Beetlejuice in that movie. But wow, how a little human being can be so draining. Mm-hmm. He just did a backflip off his crib with a frame. And like, somehow he's grown and can stand and has like a different perception now. Mm-hmm. So he like reached out of his crib, climbed a bit and grabbed the frame, but couldn't handle it. And then just kind of, I think the frame like suplexed him.
I don't know what a suplex is.
It's kind of like a...
Anyway, so he's sleeping.
For a bit. But let's welcome the YouTube viewership, the Spotify and iTunes listenership. We're on this journey together. We believe that you don't have to be in the building to be in the house, and that's why we've created this digital community.
Yeah.
Because we want to connect with you guys, first digitally, and then eventually personally.
Mm-hmm.
We get together here every Friday night, and if you guys are ever in the downtown LA area, come to our art gallery. It's called Allies.
Yeah.
It's on 1054 South Olive Street,
mm-hmm.
90015 if you're a Google Maps person.
Mm-hmm.
And if not, we may be coming your way because we're building a van.
Yes.
And the van has a lot of insulation in it right now.
Yes, it
and
does.
We'd love to do this free people type conversation on the road with you guys.
Yeah.
Maybe in a small intimate setting, maybe in a large arena with like hundreds of thousands of people.
How do you have so much energy right now?
Oh, did you miss? There was two Red Bulls here and they're now gone.
Oh, okay. All right. We need a Red
Besides
Bull.
That, Cuban. Chino, so.
We need a Red Bull sponsor.
Go figure. Just a little hyper.
Think about my editing.
I'm done.
So on Friday we were speaking about faith and it was really beautiful. We had a, I think, dynamic conversation because there were people from all different backgrounds of belief and people that are on different parts of their journey. I guess we're all on different parts of our journey.
We will forever be
on
different parts of our journey.
But it's really cool to see people come together that are from different backgrounds, different upbringings, different countries, and we all had a conversation about faith and brought out perspectives. And I loved the level of openness in the room and wisdom in the room, and even though that everybody was like coming from a place of either belief or non-belief or different background, there were such healthy tools brought to the table. And I think it's really cool because we say every week we guarantee that you're going to leave with more than you came in with. And that was 100% what happened.
Well, it's an amazing thing because faith is a universal word.
Yeah.
But yet somehow the conversation starts to swerve into a spiritual context no matter what.
Yeah.
And I think that speaks to the power of the word faith.
Yeah. So my... definition of faith or faith statement was faith is believing in what you can't see in order that it might be. It is basically paraphrased from a verse in the scriptures, but I think it is such a beautiful way to say it. Faith is believing in what you cannot see in order that it might be. What that means is that faith requires us to have an imagination, a hope, a sense of creativity for the future. And so when I think about believing in something that I can't see, that looks to every dream I have, every aspiration, every reason that I get up in the morning, all the goals that we have as a family, all the crazy ideas that we're living in now that were once just pods of faith. They were once just these seeds and these ideas that perhaps seemed really insane and sometimes impossible. And we're standing in the reality of the faith that we had yesterday.
God has shown up so big in our lives that I'm like really nervous at times what I ask for or what I say.
Yeah.
And I don't really ask for, it's a weird glitch I have. I don't really, when I pray, I don't really ask for stuff for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's a problem I have. I always ask for other people or scenarios that are taking place. And it's funny because I remember you've got on my back about this.
Yeah.
You're like, well, you better start asking for some stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm keeping my red card so I can pull it out when I really need it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, what do you think? God can't handle your one extra request?
Yeah.
It's like, God's a show off.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that we've kind of dreamcasted and kind of foreshadowed for this space,
mm-hmm.
He's kind of superseded. And it's scary to think that we just keep chasing him and chasing ideas and stuff keeps working out. And not everything's exactly worked out, but strangely enough, it feels overwhelming what has worked out. So big shout out to God and faith.
Shout out to God.
Shout out to God. Oh, it's Oscar weekend, so I'd like to thank God.
The one thing I know to be true about faith is that it's not a feeling and it has nothing to do with your emotions towards having faith. And when I talk about faith, I mean in the context of being somebody who believes in God, who is a follower of Jesus. And sometimes it takes somebody else taking inventory of the miracles that have happened and the place that you are in your life to remember how faithful God has been. Because if I rely on my emotions, for example, with this week, it has been pretty insane. We've had like plumbing issues. We didn't have water for two days. And then we got water and then we didn't have water for another 2 days. And it was just
two events.
Yeah, to do with two different events and just like all sorts of stuff going on. And then in the midst of that,
projectile throw ups.
Yeah, so I get sick, and that was the day that we were meant to have our episode uploaded, so that our episode was a day late. And then Lion gets sick, so our son's sick. And the worst thing, like, I can be sick and kind of power through and just, you know, strong arm through life. But when your child gets sick and he's so helpless and you have to try recover yourself and then take care of a child that has a fever that is not sick enough to need to be like hospitalized, but is sick enough that you really can't do anything but take care of your child in the midst of a flood with your business and events happening.
And he's so confused. He's so confused. He doesn't know what to do.
Yeah.
Besides that strange, painful meditation of for a haunting like 16 hours.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
God,
every
poor
single
child
day.
And us.
Every single day. Yo, just to the parents out there, like, I don't know where you are on your parenting journey, but my goodness, you are an absolute superhero, because the resilience that is required to get through life in general as a single person is pretty high. The resilience that is required as a parent when you have another human being who is completely dependent on you. And then for a parent out there who is a single parent and you do not have a partner helping you or family around, you are like the superhero of superheroes, essentially.
And it's crazy to say that how stretched we've been, I could see how some people crack.
Yeah, I could see it.
You need everything to keep you together.
Yeah.
You need a solid spouse. You need a solid community.
Mm-hmm.
You need family.
Mm-hmm.
You need prayer.
Mm-hmm.
You need God to show up.
Yeah.
You need a healthy diet.
Yeah.
You need accidents in your favor.
Yeah.
Like, it takes everything to do this.
Which is why the conversation about faith is so important, because I cannot imagine a life without believing in God, because without believing in Jesus, I'm nothing. Like today, I felt like it was such a bad day. This week, I felt like it was such a bad week. But because I know that nothing that I'm doing is in my own strength, and I actually have somebody to submit it to, I have somebody to have faith in, to carry my burdens, I know that this circumstance is temporary, and I'm not doing this alone, and then there is somebody that has bared the weight for me. But if I didn't have that understanding, it feels like such a lonely life. And me as the person who was not really a follower of Jesus, isn't that long ago, and for you, isn't that long ago. But I, because I am so deeply invested in my relationship with Jesus, I cannot imagine, I cannot even take my brain to how I used to survive. I think I was just destructive.
Faith is an interesting subject because everybody exudes faith. We don't know who built these Ames chairs, but yet we sat down in faith. Mm-hmm. And it could be that basic. But then it could also have all this supernatural layers to it and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Because faith wasn't very natural for me, but it became very natural. Self-taught, mm-hmm. and then experientially. No, how do you say that? When it's experience?
Experientially?
Yeah. Experientially. Mm-hmm. So, quick story. My lineage of faith and my family comes from my father's side. My great-grandfather, my great-grandmother, was bedridden, and he couldn't figure out what was going on. Mm-hmm. So he was at his wit's end. He had tried everything. They had spirits hanging in the, I don't know, they had all kinds of stuff in the house. They voodoo chants. It's in Cuba, so you can only imagine what's available. All that Caribbean mumbo-jumbo. So, no offense to the Caribbean mumbo-jumbo, but much offense to the Caribbean mumbo-jumbo. There was a knock on the door. And the knock on the door were these missionaries. And my grandfather was so at his wit's end that even though he wasn't a believer, he let these Christian missionaries into the house. And they kind of checked out the environment and said, "Hey, do you mind if we pray for her?" And he had no idea what was going on, but he said yes. And then he said, "Right before we pray, I want to gather everyone in the family together, but can we take down some of these items?" So they took down a bunch of shrines and things and items and whatever it may be. I don't know the exact detail of it because when I first heard the story, I was really young and I didn't really think to get into the details. And it might be a little bit more interesting now to ask my mom what details she has about it. Mm-hmm. But the two missionaries proceeded to pray for a minute and they had the family together and the family was kind of sensing an experience that they hadn't really experienced before, and a vibe or an energy or a spirit or an essence in this room that no one could say, you know, they have been present for in the past. Mm-hmm. So they left, they said goodbye, they exchanged information. It's not like they had cellies or bump phones or anything back in the day. This is like 20s in Cuba, maybe. My grandfather was in the living room and my grandma decided to waddle out of bed into the living room into her favorite chair. And they were so blown away that they could do nothing but tribute it to those missionaries' prayer. So my grandmother wanted to do everything she could to reconnect with them and get involved with whatever they were about. So my grandparents quickly got plugged into this local church in Cuba where my dad was raised. So faith in my life comes from this like supernatural experience that my grandmother was a part of, that my dad was able to witness and impact in his life, which then impacted my brother's life, which then started to kind of mold me when I was young. Mm-hmm. And it's beautiful how the scriptures say to plant seeds in your children while they're young and watch them bear fruit later on in their older age. Because it's so true. I ran from faith like I couldn't explain it. Mm-hmm. As soon as I was able to get away from my brother, who used to have me on a paper route and then take me to church, I did. And then the funny thing is, if you're as old as me, you were around skateboarding when it first took place. So I was a skateboarder my whole life, if you guys don't know that. Mm-hmm. And my first experience with faith was actually on a skateboard physically, because I had to believe that something could happen in order that it could be. Because back then, it wasn't like it is nowadays, where you just take a swipe on the gram and see all these miraculous tricks from all over the world. There wasn't skateboard videos. There wasn't a lot of magazines. And skateboarding wasn't created to the complex thing that it is right now, mm-hmm. where almost anything that you can imagine, you can do on a skateboard. It was really interesting for me to have an exorcism of faith on my skateboard on a regular basis, to where I was building this muscle I didn't really have any real need for at the time, because I was living a life that was a lot less intentional, and I was just having fun on my skateboard. But then many, many years later, how you're saying that I'm a more recent follower of Jesus and whatnot, I came into our church, and our pastor, Erwin McManus, had written a book called The Artisan Soul. And being that I had only made a living exercising faith or creativity and whatnot, you could only believe how that book just spoke right to the core of me. Mm-hmm. And in that book, it stated how creativity is a direct result of spirituality. Mm-hmm. So when I read that quote, it just rocked me, and I thought back to myself, and I was like, wow, I must have been like in a spiritual act of worship my entire life, mm-hmm. because I had only made a living creating. Mm-hmm. So the most interesting thing is, he had a book signing here on 9th Street, and I lived on 11th at the time. And at around 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, I went and got my book signed. I hadn't met him yet. And I went back to the house, and I couldn't put the book down. I was done by 2 o'clock in the morning. So I read the book straight through in like 4 or 5 hours. And that very next Sunday, accidentally, we bumped into each other at church. And I said, oh, by the way, good book. And he was like, oh, you're reading it? And I said, no, I finished it. And then he looked at me with like a face kind of like, doo-doo-doo-doo, stalker, strange person. I just flew through the book in 2 days. But it just really spoke so deeply to me that, yeah. And that's kind of like my supernatural journey of faith. Story from my family side, and a brief look into like a practical one of me on my skateboard, where I still every day believe that I can achieve something on my skateboard, but it's just not as grand, because I'm actually building on stuff that I've seen or stuff that I've done. Mm-hmm. Back then, it was completely invisible. Mm-hmm. It didn't really exist. Mm-hmm. And it was so much more exciting that when I believed in this thing and then it happened, there was proof of concept. The cool thing about the scriptures is when you have the app, you can kind of click through and check out different translations of it. In the New Living Translation, it says, faith is the reality of the things we hope for and the evidence of the things we cannot see. Mm-hmm. That is so powerful. For all you people out there who are universal and want to manifest stuff and whatever else, mm-hmm. there's an action. Mm-hmm. Faith is the reality. That's believing. Albert Einstein says that nothing takes place until something moves.
Yeah.
And that's one of those things where I constantly have to remind myself mm-hmm. that faith is not stagnant, it's dynamic. Mm-hmm. And faith is so dynamic that you can project it onto somebody else. Mm-hmm. And there's that beautiful story in the scriptures about when the paralyzed man is lowered through a hole in the roof, mm-hmm. and it wasn't his faith that healed him, but Jesus said the faith of his friends.
Yeah.
So a beautiful experience that we had Friday night was the fact that somebody who was walking down the block, mm-hmm. his name was Danny, mm-hmm. he was going to an art show that had actually ended in the morning, but he read the times wrong and just happened to be walking by our space, mm-hmm. and he walked in with his girlfriend and just decided to stick it out.
Yeah.
And the crazy thing, or depending on what your lens is, the God thing, was that his best friend in Boston is my good friend Manny Santiago's good friend. Mm-hmm. When he asked me about what was going on at night, I explained to him the flow of what Free People is. He hung out for the night. The word, ironically, happened to be faith, mm-hmm. because we pick it from a random word generator from words that people enter. Mm-hmm. And he was the last person to speak. So as the whole room mentioned the story about faith, Danny was sitting on the other side of the room, and he was going, I don't know what faith is inside. And then when it got to him to share, he said, outside, I don't know what faith is, but after listening to all you guys, I think I do.
Yeah.
And that was such a crazy experience to have. Not only that, if you're a believer, you can see how God can align the craziest series of events to get you into an intentional conversation you need to have.
Yeah.
How did someone from Boston end up in Los Angeles to go to an art show that's not happening, but walk by an art gallery that something else is happening, and the person who greets them happens to used to have a deal with Converse that was located out of Boston near a town where he used to live, that then got me speaking to him about his friends and how he grew up. And he told me how I reminded him of his friend Steve. And then I mentioned I have a good friend from Boston. And he goes, my friend Steve knows Manny Santiago. They're good friends. And God will align you to have a conversation about faith that you never had in this warehouse in downtown LA with 30 strangers if he needs you to have it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the epitome of when we think that we're like physical people having a spiritual experience. And so often, especially from a perspective of non-belief, you come in and you and he comes into the room thinking he's having this like spiritual experience, not understanding yet that he is a spiritual person having a human experience.
That's beautiful.
When those two worlds collide, that's when he senses that he's closer to who he's meant to be. You know?
And the thing that we need to understand is we're not having a conversation with anyone that God isn't already having with you.
Yeah.
You just may not have the tools or the language or the person to help you translate what you're experiencing into the reality that it is.
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to mention, and I don't know if this is like outing us or helping us, but in Mosaic College, one of our pastors, David Arcos, he has this class and he teaches environmental evangelism.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially what this is evangelizing from your environment, right? So creating spaces, creating experiences, creating third spaces. And a third space is essentially not the place that's personal to you and not the place that's personal to them that they would encounter every day, but creating a third space. It's just a mutual neutral territory. Mutually neutral territory that two people or a group of people can come into and have a human experience as spiritual people. And I think that is such a epitome of what we're doing on a Friday night is, you know, we're just having conversation. This week, I think we're having tacos, by the way. We're just having conversation. We're bringing people together. We are pointing people towards Jesus in the most subtle ways by just being our most human self. So by being kind, by being inviting, by opening up our space. And hoping that by the way that God works in the room and the way that the people and our friends that we trust, that we invite to be with us on a Friday night as well, everyone coming into a room would experience God in a new and a unique and a genuine way. And I love Daddy's story because it's such a confirmation of what we're doing. And, you know, speaking to the people who are, you know, leaders in church, perhaps your pastors, perhaps you have been in ministry for a long time or something new to you and you are experiencing any kind of what we like to commonly call burnout or you're just feeling tired or not poured into, I think the most important thing is just to go back to each person that you know that you've brought closer to Jesus and remind yourself that if only for the one, it's enough. Felix, you always say like, how much when you're talking about the magnitude and the importance of what we do, you always go, well, how much is a life worth? You know,
yeah, I think when you look at a group of people, you know, it's a priceless group of people.
Yeah.
But when you look at one person, it's priceless.
Yeah.
So if you're having a conversation with 100 or 1 million,
mm-hmm.
it's a priceless conversation.
Yeah.
And I think you need to treat one with the same intentionality
mm-hmm.
as you would treat the masses.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know Pastor Owen always says that if you are experiencing burnout, you're just not doing something that you're passionate about. And I don't know that he means that you're not passionate about ministry as such, or not passionate about bringing people closer to Jesus. I sometimes think that he's just talking about the method in which you do so. And just going back to the intention, the mission, the vision, the purpose that you started to begin with, that you had that coffee, had that conversation, that you opened up your space and had people in it to have tacos and conversation, whatever it is that you do to invite people into closer proximity to Jesus, just go back to the one and remind yourself why you're doing it, and that way you can pull yourself out of being lost in the sauce.
That's funny. I think everybody has a different level of capacity.
Yeah.
And because you're working at your highest capacity and it's not comparable to somebody else's, mm-hmm. you still have to maintain the pace for your grace.
Yes.
And get mm-hmm. yourself around people that have a strong faith.
I'm going to pause you because I want you to say that again. That was really powerful.
I forgot
you
what I said. That was a stretch.
Maintain the pace
for your grace. Yeah.
That's there's wisdom right there.
Well, the thing is, everybody's living by comparison, and comparison is not only the thief of joy,
yeah.
it's the vacuum of satisfaction. Mm. You know, it's just, it's going to drain you if you're constantly comparing yourself to somebody after you've just exerted everything you had.
Yeah.
And God sees your heart. And whether it's big heart, little heart, if you gave all your heart, it's okay.
Yeah.
And if you're a little shaky in faith, you just need to get around people who are strong in their faith, and that faith is going to rub off.
Yeah.
And if you're a little burnt out on what's going on, you need to change it up. You need to mix it up. You need to get to some people who have a fresh perspective,
mm-hmm.
because the methods will always change, but the message will always remain the same.
Yeah. And I think for me, just like an example of being just so tired this week and in the season, just with all the things that are happening in life, it's important for me to be poured into as well. And it doesn't mean that a person has to pour into me. It doesn't mean that the church has to pour into me. For me, it's just about going back to the basics of my faith and the foundation of my faith, and looking at perhaps the same things with just new eyes, you know, and exercising gratitude for what God has already done. And those things are very refreshing.
I mean, how much energy do we spend doing next year? We're gonna New Year's resolutions, but why don't we last year's celebrations?
Yeah.
You know, and this year's celebrations.
Yeah.
And I don't want to focus so much on the negative things that I need to change.
Mm-hmm.
I want to focus on positive things that I want to change.
Yeah.
I want to focus on uplifting stuff. I want to focus on living from a space of a half full cup,
mm-hmm.
not a half empty one.
Mm-hmm.
I want to keep believing that greater days are ahead,
yeah.
and that we are full of faith, and faith is coming to realization,
yeah.
and that's refilling us.
Yeah.
Because if we're going to sit here and brag about what a show-off God is,
mm-hmm.
we need to look like people who are full of Him,
mm-hmm.
and have been refreshed by Him.
Yeah. And so, just to wrap up this conversation, I think that I just want to encourage everybody watching and listening that if you are believing for something and you feel like you're a little bit tired because maybe it doesn't look like God has come through, whether it's like believing in the business that He asked you to start, or believing in the relationship, or for some kind of healing in your body, or for a family member, whatever it is, just know that God is a faithful God. The most simple practical thing to do is just to get around faithful people in those seasons that you don't have it all. You don't have to have it all. God's got you, and the people around you that that do believe can carry you through in that season. So don't be shy to ask people for help, to share what's going on. These journeys aren't meant to be for us to go through alone. Faith is personal, but it's not private. It's something that we're meant to experience in community. It's something that we're meant to experience.
She's hot when she does that.
It's something that we're meant to experience in relationship. Yeah, that's my encouragement.
So next week's word is breathe.
Mm-hmm.
If you have something you want to share about faith, please leave it in the comments. Shoot us a DM. If you want to leave a comment about Breathe, we could share your guys' comment on Friday and what you guys thought about Breathe. And the objective is to get the physical community interacting with the digital community, and we can make one big community, and we could all just grow together.
Yeah,
because absolutely. Us doing this is just a lot of breaths. In fact, too many breaths for one episode. We need to cut. But when we do this together, we guarantee we all show up with less, but we always leave with more.
Yeah.
So please share the podcast, like and subscribe, comment, do all that stuff you guys need to do to make this engine move.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not just doing it for us. You're doing it for a community of people that need a key to be free.
Yeah. Absolutely. So thank you so much for listening and for watching. We will see you in the next one. And remember, free people, free people.
Lion said goodbye.